your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
That's right, it is space time. It's space o'clock because it is 4:40 and I'm joined live on the phone by Josh. Are you there? There you are. Sorry, I was in a bit of a mad rush there. I got carried away by the tunes and then I remembered you, Josh. I remembered you. What's happening in space world? What's happening in the Stardome at the moment?
We've got a lot of stuff going on at the moment. We are just about to go back into school holidays, which apparently is next week. It felt like it was just a few weeks ago. We've got sci-fi movies going on tomorrow. And a reopening of our telescope this week, which is, really exciting for us. So, we've got a whole bunch of stuff at the moment.
What is the telescope? The Zeiss? How do you pronounce that?
Yes, Zeiss. Yeah.
And is that like something that you can, I don't know, what can you see through the Zeiss telescope? How far can you
view? So, Zeiss is our big telescope. That's our big public telescope, which we use. So you can book into that and see stuff. We've been closed for almost about a year, unfortunately, because we had some damage done to it. But we're reopening on Friday. One of the largest publicly viewable telescopes in the country, which is, it's really awesome. It's a really beautiful telescope, really awesome, room that it's in. It looks very cool. And it's quite big and powerful. So, you can see, the planets really easily, star clusters, some nebula, even through Auckland's light pollution. So it's a really cool thing. If anyone in Auckland hasn't been to it, it's definitely one of those things to go and do one day.
My brother has one of those kind of like backyard telescopes, and I remember we could see the rings of, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe it was Saturn, one of the ones that you can see the rings of, and I remember that being amazing. But that was just a backyard telescope, so I can only imagine the detail.
Totally. And seeing the rings of Saturn is always amazing, but it's pretty cool on the Zeiss. It's just so much more clear and defined, and very otherworldly.
I had that funny experience where I was like, it looks like a little one of those stick up glow in the dark stickers that you put on your roof when you're a kid.
Back in the day.
One of those. And I went, it looks quite quaint, quite cute. But we're not just here to talk about telescopes. We also want to talk about all things space related. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about, it caught my eye, was that NASA has asked to create a time zone on the moon. I have a few thoughts. I don't quite know what that means. What is that? What does it mean?
Yeah, so this is it's a kind of interesting story, but basically, the White House, the governments in the United States has asked NASA to basically start thinking about long-term, actually creating a time zone on the moon. And that's because, the moon experiences different rotation, different orbit to Earth. So a day on the moon is very, very different to Earth. But in saying that, the long-term goal of a lot of space agencies is to send people back to the moon. So, if we have people living and working on the moon, they have to have a time zone. There needs to be some sort of kind of, regulations where they can actually align themselves to certain thing in terms of, like a work day, for example. So it's a really interesting thing when you think about it, but it's, time and space.
But I thought the moon this might be a silly thing to say, but I thought the moon doesn't rotate, right? There's the dark side and the light side of the moon. So how does that work with the time zone, daytime, night?
Yeah, well, common misconception. the moon does rotate. However, the moon, the rotation matches the orbit speed. So basically that means that on Earth, we only ever see the same side of the moon, so it's what we call tidal locking. So the moon, it rotates very slow, and it rotates at the same rate that it goes around us. So, but that means that, if you were on the moon, a day on the moon lasts for about 2 weeks. So, if you've got a sunrise on the moon, the sun's going to be in the sky for 2 Earth weeks, and then it's going to set, and you're going to get two weeks of night, essentially. So you can, you can't really have a time zone for that. You kind of have to actually take it off like an Earth time zone. So I think it's likely that, NASA is probably going to align it to one of the time zones in the United States. It could be something completely different. We're not quite sure. But, that's kind of what NASA's been tasked with now.
It seems like such a funny idea because I assume that in the future, moon exploration and being on the moon will be an international and joint effort. So who gets to make the choice about whose time is used on the moon could be.
And
I know we've talked about For All Mankind before, But it seems like one of those, you know, power moves, be like, it's our time on the moon. It's ours.
Yeah, no, and it totally is. Like, you know, this is an initiative from the United States. And although NASA might come out and say, hey, you know, we've got this time zone for the moon, we should all start using it. You know, who's to say that another country is not going to use that? You know, China has their own plans to go to the moon. So does India and Russia. And it's very likely that those countries are not going to want to use an American time zone. So, you know, there is the politics that play into it. I'd like to think that there would be universal set time on the moon that all countries can follow. But, yeah, it's probably unlikely because not everyone agrees with America, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right. Well, or fortunately, depending
on... Yeah,
or
fortunately.
and finally, we have the three companies... who have been picked to design lunar rovers for the Artemis astronauts to drive on the moon. So, I mean, like, I think about the original lunar rover, pretty iconic design. I mean, how can you improve on that? It's beautiful. I'd take that on a beach any day.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can't beat the, you know, the Apollo era rovers. Very, very cool looking. But yeah, they've tasked three companies to start building and designing new rovers for future Artemis missions. But yeah, I think one of the goals and what sets these rovers apart is they're going to be quite robust. Basically, NASA wants them to be usable when astronauts are not on the moon. So they want to be able to, you know, control them remotely to send them, drive them around on the moon. And they also want a lot of these rovers to potentially have controlled environments. So they're basically sealed off. They act like almost like a spacecraft. So when astronauts are using them, they don't actually need to be in their spacesuits. They can actually just be inside of the rover and, you know, these compressed compartments. But, yeah, you've got three companies designing these rovers, and they've come out with their actual designs. And they look very cool, very futuristic looking. And I think it'll be quite interesting to see kind of where they develop. It's a very initial stages thing at the moment, but NASA will probably have to pick one or two of them at the most.
I mean, it makes me think, I don't know if you're familiar with the film Ad Astra with Brad Pitt.
Love Ad Astra.
So, I mean, in Ad Astra, there is an iconic and incredibly tense chase scene between a couple of moon rovers, but they're like open top. They are kind of the Apollo design, and of course it's silent because you're in the vacuum of space, but, you know, that's set in the future. Again, I'm returning to saying I want to stick with the Apollo rover. Don't have a little buggy on there. Don't have a little car.
I mean, if it was up to me, I would make them just rebuild the Apollo ones because I do think they are great. And I also think that they are they're very simple designs. Like, they're very simplistic rovers, and they're just essentially just cars with batteries that, you know, astronauts drive. Actually, the rovers from Ad Astra were directly designed from the Apollo ones, a little fun fact, which is why they look so cool.
There we go.
But yeah, I would love to send an Apollo one back. Would be very, very cool.
If any of you listeners haven't seen Ad Astra, it's sort of Apocalypse Now set in space. But lots of surprises, it's very good. Slow mover, slow burner, but very, very good.
Very, very existential film. Love
yes. It. Maybe it's like Apocalypse Now meets 2001.
Yeah.
That's where we'll go with that. Thank you so much, Josh. I will be speaking to you in a fortnight's time. Enjoy the Stardome and the go out and check out the telescope down at the Stardome, the Zeiss.
Yeah.
See some planets. See you, Josh. So that was Josh Aoraki.
We are Doc.
From
that was
the
Stardome. Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.